Hello from Plano, Texas, Water of Life Ministries. Doyle Davidson, apostle and prophet, a servant of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel worldwide. Wherever you're at on live stream, this is Plano, Texas, right on the north edge of Dallas, Texas, right where something happened in 1963 that took my breath. President John F. Kennedy was killed. And no, it had nothing to do with his religion that bothered me. What bothered me, that the president of my country could be killed in a city where I lived very close to. Not only that, I was at the state fairground of Texas, in Dallas, x-raying a horse. This man was from Abilene and had a bunch of horses in a sale, and I happened to be the veterinarian for that sale. And I was x-raying this horse, and a man walked up and said to the two of us, the man that owned the horses and myself, President Kennedy was just killed. And the man that I was talking to said, I'm not surprised. I didn't ask any questions till the person that brought the news got out of sight, and I knew this man well, the man that owned the horses. I said, all right, you said something, that would you like to elaborate on? He said he was too radical. That's all that was ever said. Amazing to me. But I've learned since, not all men have a heart that wouldn't kill. John chapter 2, Jesus said, He did not commit himself to all men because he knew what was in man. And he also said he did not need anyone's recommendation about him, about a man. He knew what was in man. You know, for more than 40 years, those words have helped me to not be deceived by men. Jesus also said, and these words were not his, but the Father's. He also said, I send you forth among, did he say wolves? Whatever. He said, be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. That spirit is in me, and you can't fool this one. Not this flesh, this spirit. He said, that spirit's in me. I know it is, but it's got some devils associated with it, and they need to come out. It's a good time to start, huh? I didn't come out here to do this, did I? No, I did not. But I came out here to talk from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse, the entire chapter. And as I'm teaching this, I'm sure I will upset some wicked devils. Some wicked devils. Some know-it-all devils. You know, I've met them. Glory be to Jesus. So, now that some of the pressure has lifted off of my faith, maybe it's just well that we start confronting legal devils that just know everything better than anyone. So maybe if we had seat belts in this place, we might need to connect them, huh? But this is not an airplane. You can get up and walk out anytime you want to from this place. One Sunday evening back in the 80s, when the word was getting out that I was once a veterinarian, and that I stopped doing that and started obeying God, 6 men walked in. They sat right over here. They were really something. You could tell. They thought they were someone. They had their Bibles and their notes. I used to tell people, it took me a while, but I'd say, put your notes down. I'm not speaking to your mind. I'm speaking to your heart by the Spirit of God. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. And I'm writing it in the fleshly tables of your heart, if you have one. How do I say that? But these 6 sit down. You could tell I could, because I got a spirit in me that knows everything. They were here to check him out. And I start speaking, and heads begin to. Are you hearing this? Within 5 minutes, in unison, they all rose and marched out. And I said, goodbye. Good riddance. So if there's a Pharisee here, good riddance. Kathy, should we start reading now before I get in more trouble? First chapter of Timothy, verse 1. Let's go.
Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Did you get that? Paul was an apostle by commandment of the Father in Jesus Christ. I am as well. An apostle by commandment of Jehovah. You want to fight with him? I wouldn't recommend it. I'd recommend you repent and get your heart right and say, oh Lord, I know nothing at all. I know nothing at all. I know nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Would you teach me? You know, I'm in a strange spirit. You know that? Holy Ghost. Let's go.
Amen. 2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
I say the same to you. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Father and Jesus Christ to all of you. Let's go.
As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions.
Go ahead.
Rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do.
Charge some. Yeah. In other words, Paul had a problem. He had some around him that were preaching another gospel. Right?
Right.
And he charged them not to do it. Well, I didn't remember this being in this chapter, but thank God it is. I'm charging you. Stop preaching the Ten Commandments and preach the gospel. You know what in Galatians the book of Galatians, it says that other gospel is the Ten Commandments, the law. And America and the world is full of teaching the Ten Commandments. Look, Jesus Christ, they were nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ, the Ten Commandments. They were taken out of the way. They were abolished. Amen. Let's go on.
5. Now at the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned.
The end of the commandment is what? Charity out of a pure heart?
Out of a pure heart.
And faith unfeigned?
And faith unfeigned.
You know what that word means? Don't be an actor. Don't be an actor. You know, I was at the Tarrant County Convention Center one day, and I can't do this right now because the powers of darkness would knock me flat if I'd try. Not because they're angry, but they are. But this guy is talking about the anointing is on him. He said, ooh, and he spun. I could do it, but not right in the moment. I thought, you phony thing, you have no anointing. I didn't have goosebumps. I was listening to a preacher once, and he said, the anointing is running up and down my back. The anointing is in my belly. Where's yours? You better examine yourself whether you be in faith or not. The anointing destroys the yoke. Thank God. Isaiah 10:27. Next.
Verse 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling.
Oh, my Lord. This is terrible. God's really after you. They have swerved. You know what a swerve is? You ever been driving a car and try to miss another one? Well, that's the best example that I can come up with. Because a bunch of you have swerved. Swerve and become what? Vain janglers?
Have turned aside unto vain jangling.
Yeah. People that teach the law, oh, this is good today. Amen. Remember, angels surround this place and me. So if you try to come and do me harm, an angel will slap you down. Well, go ahead and try it. I've seen them come. Try to get to me and angels, knock them on the floor. And I'd say, and what are you doing there? Get up on your feet. And then the power of God knock them down. Get up on your feet. Power of God knock them down. And a guy came in here once. He'd been, it's a long story, I'm going to shorten it. But he'd been reading Satan's Bible. Yeah. And the power of God knocked him down, and I was talking to him, and I asked him, have you been reading that? No, no, no. I said, yes, you have. He said, no, I haven't. I said, yes, you have. Don't lie to me. And he was crawling backwards like a crayfish. You know how they do? They go backwards. And he went in that fellowship hall. He went backwards, clear out one of those doors. Oh, don't lie to the Holy Ghost. He was blessed. He got out alive. Ananias and Sapphira didn't get out for life. You know that? Next word.
Verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law.
There is a vain jangler. One that teaches the Ten Commandments and one that desires to teach the Ten Commandments and one that teaches the Ten Commandments are good guidelines to live by. Swerve from the faith and have become vain janglers. Next.
Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm.
Isn't that amazing? That you people teach this, don't understand what you're saying nor what you affirm. Now, you know with your intellect and as brilliant as you are, that couldn't be true. Well, that is true. See, the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God standeth forever. Never change. Next.
Verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully.
Hear this? Talking about the Ten Commandments. We know the law is good if we use it lawfully. Next.
Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man.
Okay, here's the way I'm going to read it. No, I do not know the law is not made for a righteous man. You know why that you do not know that? Because you're not a righteous man. Did they all leave? Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man. And for those that get disturbed and upset and say, well, that cannot be true, that's because you are not righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. You're righteous in your own eyes. And your righteousness is of the law. Of the law. One of my ancestors in the 1600s wrote the incorruptible key. And he made a statement something like this, that people that did not believe in faith or walk by faith was deluded by a spirit that taught the law or from the law. That man's name is Samuel Gorton, my ninth great grandfather. Amen. Next.
Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient.
Oh, which one are you? If you think the law is for you, then find your place here. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the what? Lawless?
The lawless.
And the disobedient.
And disobedient.
And then there's a list of more. Go ahead and read the others.
For the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
There it is, folks. It's written in the book that is absolutely right, and you'll hold it up and say you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. Yeah, you read that, you say, well, that doesn't really say that. Oh, no kidding. You know what you need? You need a beam out of your eye so you can see to get a splinter out of somebody else's eye. You got big beams in your eyes, trees. Let's go on.
12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
I was a sinner. You better know that. And I did many things ignorantly, and all of it was unbelief. All of it was unbelief. And that's your problem, unbelief. Next.
14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Last verse, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
You don't believe I have authority to deliver you to Satan till you learn to stop blaspheming, but I do.